This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
We're going to go to questions and hopefully some answers as well. And I was going to say the same thing about Bob as well, that no questions about the bill, so we won't take anything about that. But anything else open to everyone on the floor? And if we have anybody online or in Shropshire, et cetera, please do send those in as well, and we'll be happy to take them. So questions.
Hello, my name is Mike Mason-Williams from KPMG. Fascinating sort of sessions from both of you. And Bob, I think to some extent you have answered the question that I've got, but there is an add-on that I'd like to raise with you. But the question is predominantly towards Manjeet, I suppose. And this is really about how you see councils... approach, what the council's approach is to do with freedom of choice, both to employees within your organisation and also to users and customers as to the types of services that they take from the council. And that goes both ways, for those people who actually want less services and therefore don't have to pay for them, or for those that want more services and would be willing to pay extra. And I suppose that one also comes across a little bit into Bob, into the health service, as to it's a rather touchy point as to whether or not some users can have the ability to take additional services from those community groups but actually pay for them.
Thank you. I think that's a good question in terms of the freedom of choice, both in terms of, as you say, the users and the taxpayers. Certainly from a local authority point of view, when I mentioned last year was very much defining us as a new organisation, one of the things we did was the community engagement with our citizens and the public to define the type of services. So we adopted principles of user pays versus, you know, council tax funding universal, rationalisation of certain areas. But it started very much from what the citizens. There are a range of stakeholders, but the primary stakeholder, we must not forget, as a local authority, is the citizen and the taxpayer. So that principle of, you know, choice from the user. And then equally the choice, whilst I provoke with my question at the end, no plans yet, is our corporate plan for the next 4 years does encourage mutuals in any other form. I think the key words of caution I was giving, which also I think Bob was giving, was that this has got to be done in a proper way with due diligence and business cases. But the choice has to be there. And again, a key part, I think the whole model for me summed up really what this is about, is that you have to empower and engage and support your frontline employees and empower them both in terms of their skills and their capability, as well as encouraging them to bid for mutuals if they want to. And then you equally have to balance that with what's right for the organisation and the taxpayer. So, again, a complex one to juggle, but it's important.
Just very briefly, I think on both points, I mean, we'd seen the spin-outs, the right to request, as actually not being compulsory. So there's a really sensitive issue on staffing. One of the key questions we asked around actually whether you get approval or not is actually to what extent have you actually engaged your workforce, those folk you want to take with you, are they back behind it or not? We absolutely refused to give the unions a right of veto. We felt that's completely inappropriate. But a key test for us actually was, is your proposal sustainable? Is it going to work? Is actually, in fact, have you seriously engaged your existing workforce and can you bring enough with you? And if you can't take your workforce with you, frankly, it's going to fall over. On patient choice, I think I can comment on that because it's not directly Bill. I mean, the previous government and the current government are both, the key tenet of their reforms was actually about extending choice. The current government is actually, in fact, continuing with that. A key proposal is to introduce choice of any qualified provider, starting with community services, but expanding out to most health services. We're developing detailed proposals for that. They're currently on hold whilst we have the listening exercise, but we will still be pursuing any qualified provider. Key thrust of where we are is actually we want to introduce it for those services where patient groups are most telling us they actually have poor services or poor access. So things like actually AIDS adaptations, wheelchairs, continence services. If you're an MS sufferer, why on earth can't you actually in fact use your physio? All those sorts of things. That is a bit of a challenge for our spin-outs because it means they're going to get competition from other social enterprises and private providers. I think it's a huge opportunity for existing mutuals like, for example, Sunderland Home Care. If you think about any qualified provider meets personal budgets, then I think there's a huge opportunity there to provide really good services and to expand. But mutuals will have to meet the quality standards, and we will be really hard around, no, it isn't about top-ups. Now, if we're talking about NHS-funded services, they are free at the point of use, they stay free at the point of use, but we do want to encourage people actually to make the best use of personal budgets and actually greater choice in the health service.
Great.
Can I just make one more comment on choice, both in terms of my local NHS role and the local authority is one of the things we found with dialogue, and I think maybe national research backs this up as well, is that the first priorities, the engagement and dialogue, not simply consultation, reveals from citizens is they want quality above all. If the healthcare is better, you know, in Hull rather than Hertfordshire, of course they want the choice, but their starting point is why isn't it just as good in Hertfordshire?
Should we take one more question?
Hello, Martin Pilkington from RH Environmental Limited. Is this the best profile? Or is that the best profile?
We'll take a vote later on that one.
Okay. How do you ensure that you get the best competitive result for the taxpayer when you examine these business cases? Are you actually looking at all the options, which includes private sector, mix of private and social enterprise? Or is it that at this stage, if someone comes up with a mutual that has a positive business case, are you accepting that business case and moving forward?
I think some of this is subject to the procurement rules, and I was rapidly thinking about the TECL case law. Maybe there's a lawyer who can explain that one better than me. But I think it has to be about ensuring that it is the best benchmark to other providers out there. But equally, the other aspect, whether it's mutuals or anything else, is recognising our role as local authorities and the wider public sector in developing the market and ensuring a diversity of choice as well. And I think mutuals is part of building that choice.
I mean, it's a really interesting issue. What do you do when you've actually got monopoly public services and no market and so on? Ultimately, yes, you want to actually generate actually fair competition and testability to actually get the best results for taxpayers. But you have to have some stepping stones. So one of the things we actually recognised around community health services where there was no alternative provision is we need to actually create enough diversity of provision to then start to create a market. So we deliberately said where we've got interest in social enterprises and they stack up, and financially that means they have to at least deliver the efficiency savings required of any other provider and so on, we'll encourage them and we'll give them a bit of protection. But once their first contract expires, it's open market tendering and so on. So I think it's legitimate to actually have use mutuals as a stepping stone and give them some protection. Otherwise, they will never happen. But that we've signalled the long-term goal is actually fair, transparent competition between independent providers, whether they're NHS, social enterprise, or pure for-profit. The second thing we're doing, though, with any qualified provider is we're actually just getting around the issue. So we're saying that actually anybody can provide health, a whole range of healthcare services as long as they meet two tests. Firstly, quality standards. So you either meet the quality standards and you demonstrate you're going to be safe and appropriate and so on, or you don't play. And secondly, actually, there will be a tariff or a fixed price. So actually it's around that allowing patients to choose who best meets their needs, but the price is fixed and it will be a mix of national tariff for some things, but actually local tariff where you reflect labour market factors and so on. By doing that, you then don't have competition on price. You've got competition on quality. And frankly, the punters decide, which is what I think actually should happen.
Great, thank you.